It's a major theme of the prophets that an empty life will lead to condemnation at the last day, and that condemnation is absolute nothingness. It is not eternal torture, that is true, but not conscious torture, but it is all the same an absolute nothingness. I'm going to look at Isaiah 34 to start with, and then Hosea 12. Start with Isaiah 34. The pelican and the porcupine will possess it, the owl and the raven will dwell in it. He will stretch the line of confusion over it, and the plumb line of emptiness. Now, confusion translates a Hebrew word that's translated in Isaiah 29:21 as a thing of nothing. They had worshipped things of nothing, and now the final condemnation would be nothing. Nothingness. And the measuring line would, as it were, build nothingness, emptiness. Isaiah 35:12, they shall call its nobles to the kingdom, and none shall be there. All its princes shall be nothing. So this is the picture of condemnation, of having nothing, of emptiness. In reflection of the fact that we have worshipped, or those people will have worshipped, nothingness now. And I think in our age of continual entertainment and people looking at foolishness on screens for much of their lives, there was never before a time when we could give our lives to that which is empty and that which is nothing. Oh, look at this, like some little funny ha-ha joke or some funny video or skit or odd thing that was videoed by somebody and stuck up on social media or whatever. These are things of nothing. Whereas the Hebrew word for glory, kavod, really means that which is heavy. And we have before us the ultimately heavy, meaningful things of relationship with God, of the things of his kingdom. And we need to fill our minds with those things rather than the colossal emptiness that is in society and that is clearly in so many hearts and minds. Well, coming to Hosea chapter 12, verse 1, Ephraim feeds on wind and chases the east wind. And you've got to connect that with Hosea 8, verse 7. They sow the wind and they will reap the whirlwind. So if you just simply waste your life on wind, on light things of no eternal moment, you're going to reap the wind, the whirlwind of judgment. Now when you're reading Hosea all the way through Hosea, you've got to remember that it all begins with Hosea as the representative of God marrying Gomer, this light-hearted prostitute, and she represented God's people, and he keeps trying with her, but she was a very light-hearted, not serious kind of woman. And as we read the story, our heart breaks for a good man like Hosea pouring his love onto this woman who was, you know, in modern terms, would just go out down the evening and spend the evening down the casino or down a bingo and meet some guy, go and sleep with him, and well, come back and tell Hosea how much she loves him and all that. And he knows all this, but he tries to forgive her, see the positive in her, constantly hoping that things will get better. And she gets pregnant by a guy and says, oh, here you are, hon, here's your baby. And he looks at it and says, no, this is not my people. This is not mine. And so that light-hearted, not serious woman, who we in the story naturally come to dislike, She actually is a symbol of us, really. And so Paul says, 2 Corinthians 4:17, that our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And I said that the Hebrew word for glory means weight, and so there you have an example of where, although Paul writes apparently in Greek, he clearly has Hebrew thinking in his mind. It's a word play. So we stand related to that eternal weight of glory. Whereas Israel, they sowed to the wind and were swallowed up. And now Hosea 8 verse 8 says, now they are among the nations like a worthless thing, a light thing. That's the idea. They had sowed the wind, they'd had a not serious attitude to the wonderful love of God that they stood related to. They'd wasted their lives like Gomer did on wind, on light things of no eternal moment. And for that, they were to reap the whirlwind. They sowed to the wind, or as Hosea 12:1 says, they fed on wind and chased the east wind. All human thought, action, and living is a sowing, and one day we shall reap what we have sowed. And you can't take sort of time out from this sowing, because every moment of life, every thought, in that sense, is a sowing, and therefore it has eternal moment, it has eternal consequence. And they followed after, they fed on wind and chased the wind. And all this chasing after nothing, it is very easy to sort of see it in other people and say, oh yeah, isn't it terrible how people waste their lives on nonsense? Yeah, but it gets a grip on the human mind. And there in Hosea 12:1, when Ephraim chases the east wind, it's the same word in Hosea 2:7 of how Gomer, or Israel, follow after, chase after her lovers, but finds no support from them. She chases after the wind, she chased after her lovers. Oh, this will be the one. Oh, no, doesn't work out. Oh, this will be the one. No, not that one. Yeah, I'll try him. No, that didn't work out. When she had the love of Hosea there for her, and she didn't want it. It's tragic, isn't it? But this is the tragic wastage that's going on in human minds all over the world, all over the planet, as we're saying these things and listening to these things. Now, you and I have before us, in God's word and in the hope of the kingdom, and above all, in the continual sense that we live in the shadow of the cross of Jesus, we have the ultimate heavy things, that he died for me. As Paul could say, the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. And in the light of that, life is never the same again. Life is not a light-hearted chasing after wind. I'm not saying that life is therefore to be lived with a long face and a terrible seriousness. We have known all joy and peace through believing. But because we are related to such eternally heavy things,